This is The Game Show with Max Sussman, brought to you by The Gaming Stadium, Canada's leader in esports.
Welcome to The Game Show, presented by The Gaming Stadium here on Sportsnet 650. I'm your host, Max Sussman, and today we're talking about Vancouver Elated. It's a locally based esports organization, and we're doing that with Mitchell Murrah-Roman right now on The Game Show on Sportsnet 650. He is the founder at Vancouver Elated. He is Mitchell Roman, a.k.a. Murrah. Murrah, thanks for joining me here on The Game Show.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
So since you're new to the show, this is your first time on the show. Everybody knows I like to start off with the same starting question. Where'd the gamer tag Murrah come from?
Murrah actually comes from the name Muramasa, which is the fabled sword made by a Japanese sword artist. Muramasa. And I've always stuck to that name since I was back in my RPG days when I was playing a game called Tibia. I just loved the name Muramasa for everything. And then my favorite artist while I was creating this team to listen to was Muramasa. And he's a DJ from the UK.
Oh, this has got a little bit of a double meaning. I thought I was gonna just end at Muramasa the swordsman.
No, it's my favorite artist, my favorite piece of history from the Japanese old ages, and my longest running name for gaming.
Cool. Usually people come in and they're like, well, this is my name, but then, you know, when I was 11, I had this other stupid, super stupid name. I envy people who, like, found something dope when they were young and then just stuck with it. Because I have definitely not. That's not the case for me.
To be fair, I did have some funny names when I was a lot younger. But yeah, this one did stick and then came back.
So give me what's your esports background? Give me a Cliff's Notes version of what led you here, ended prior to Vancouver Elated. But what's kind of the background?
Well, it all started with getting denied by my parents in Halo Reach. So that back in the day, Halo Reach, that was my prime of when I guess I could say that was my best age of gaming for anything. I was really, really, really into it. And then I got invited to MLG Dallas. I was supposed to get paid and flown out there and everything. And then my parents said, no, you are not missing school for video games. What are you thinking? So that's where I kind of started esports and then ended it really fast because my parents told me no, and I just had to focus on school. But then as time went on, the Microsoft started hosting the community tournaments for Halo 5 some years ago, a few years ago, 4 years ago now, 5 years ago. And that's when I ran into a bunch of people locally here in Vancouver, where we all just absolutely loved the crap out of Halo 5, and we wanted to try to go pro because we were pretty darn good. So we formed a team called Odd Society Gaming. That eventually shifted away from Halo, went into Fortnite. We competed in Fortnite. We actually went up against some people in FaZe, like Jaumok, and Gunfly up in person during the Metrotown national qualifiers. And we were cool, yeah. 10 points, it was like not even 10 points, it was like 7 points shy of qualifying for the grand finals. But unfortunately, we did not crack that. And shortly after that, Fortnite seemed a little too silly for our liking, and we kind of dipped away from esports. And then, long story short, there was a big pause, COVID hit, and there was a lot of free time, and I really wanted to, you know, reignite my passion for esports, and then there was a kind of like the whole Me Too movement that started happening, unfortunately, and some of the stories kind of hit home, and that was what kind of really propelled us to change Odd Society Gaming into what we now have as Vancouver related. And now that's where we are now.
Let's dive into that. How is that how's that related to the kind of the gaming's Me Too movement?
So obviously back in the day, like I said, we were known as Odd Society Gaming and we changed to Vancouver Elated. The word elated means, you know, ecstatic, happy, especially in the moment of, you know, achieving something or in the moment of whatever. So when that Me Too thing happened and there was actually a story that was very, 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 very closely related to one of the people that unfortunately lost their lives locally because of that whole problem that rose. And so it was when that happened, when we decided we wanted to try to make a difference for esports, at least locally, right? And so we decided to reach out to the gaming scene and be like, hey, you know what? We're trying to create a team for a different reason now, not just for esports as a pro team or anything. Like, we want to do something better for the esports world. And that's kind of where Elated came from, just the fact that we're riding on positivity and, you know, inclusivity and quality, all of the good things in mind as we push forward and hopefully, you know, erase all the negative that esports has kind of been holding lately as of late.
We're talking with Mitchell Murrah Roman here on the game show on Sportsnet 650. You know, but so my personal theory in business in general is that, you know, the history is littered with millions and millions and millions of really good ideas that got a start. They started small and then they either didn't succeed or they did succeed, but whoever was running them wasn't ready to scale it up. When you look at kind of the way esports organizations scale, what's the end goal for this?
So our overall goal for Vancouver related, we have like a couple, a few to say. So obviously one of the biggest goals is to, again, break into the pro scene for esports, but specifically Halo and currently Valorant. So that's one of the biggest goals for our organization is obviously to form a team that can compete at that pro level and therefore start, you know, making some noise and draw eyes towards our name. And therefore we can then push on towards goal 2 and 3. Goal 2 would be one of our biggest things that we just started planning recently. But we plan to host our own events, tournaments, partnered with the gaming stadium. But again, obviously COVID kind of closed the gates there right now. So everything's moved online. Mm-hmm. So right now we're kind of just, creating our own tournament platform to host tournaments for Valorant, for Apex, for Halo, for all the games that we, you know, represent or have players for, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then our biggest overall goal though is the whole Project School Spirit, as we call it. It's something that we reached. I talked to founder of the Vancouver Esports Association, whom we are partnering up with for this project. But basically, we are trying to integrate esports into the school system properly to get them to, you know, have like proper classes, clubs, etc. Everything that, you know, a high school and post-secondary school would need for any sort of career path in esports. So then young kids, teens can start actually learning the proper business side of esports. So they don't get, you know, like taken advantage of like some of the young ones that have been taken advantage of by big orgs as of late, you know? So we're trying to, we're trying to change all that. We're trying to raise awareness and, like, make a positive push for esports, at least locally, but we want to reach like the whole world, obviously. So yeah, right. The Project School Spirit though is basically the push to get esports properly integrated into the school system, at least starting in Vancouver. So then again, kids can start learning about esports from the ground up so that we can build structure for esports, which it is lacking.
You kept saying we there. I just wanted to key in on that. Who's Who's we? Who's in your like organizational team right now? Not players you've got signed, but who's kind of working on the overall big project with you?
So at the moment we have the core founders of Vancouver Elated, whom we operate under as a Team Elated Esports Inc. So myself is the founder, the original. I was the one who created Odd Society Gaming off the bat. And then Jonathan Wright, he also known as Favius online, he is one of the co-founders. He also was one of the original founders of Odd Society Gaming that we started from the very beginning. And then there's the final piece, which was Hannah Litzkus. She is newer to the picture. She's also my partner. And the three of us run and own Vancouver Elated. And then on top of that, we have just a small handful of staff we have Bahad, who is helping with our branding and doing animation and editing and stuff like that. And then we have Andrew, who is leading the Call of Duty side of our team. And then we have Sam, who is leading the Overwatch side of the team, who's slowly starting to build that up. And even got recently noticed by the Vancouver Titans and everything when we were in their event. We had joined that event just to have fun and get our name into the Overwatch scene and just to test the waters and see what's out there locally. And we made some noise. It was pretty fun. But other than that, that's all. We really aren't really a big team yet. We're a very small team.
Are you playing on any of these teams yourself, or are you just kind of running the org?
I'm just running the org myself. I do plan on playing Halo Infinite professionally once it comes out. Obviously, I'll see if I can still hit that skill level over there. If I still got it, you know, I'm not getting any younger, that's for sure. But know, I'm still kicking it. We'll see.
Is there now? This is just not an esports question at all. But I have spent a long ass time since I played Halo with stuff like Xbox Game Pass and the way that Microsoft is linking, you know, stuff that runs on Windows with stuff that's on Xbox and phones, etc., like that. Has competitive Halo moved to PC?
I thought so for a bit, especially with MCC, the Master Chief Collection, releasing on PC and everything, and they're testing the PC waters and all that. And yeah, they got a lot more user base that popped up, and it kind of revived Halo somewhat a little bit for a bit. But then as of recently, when Esports Arena and launched the recent tournaments for Halo 5 with like $1,000 prize pool, and then and then Microsoft announcing the Halo 5 Pro Series coming back alive in light of Halo Infinite. And then again, all these other big pro teams like, you know, Sentinels and TSM, etc., re-signing players for Halo already ahead of time. It's like it's kind of shifted back to console because everyone wanted to focus back on Halo 5 because that was the most recent Halo, right? And so the tournaments are on Halo 5. They're not really happening too much for MCC on PC. And so from what I've seen, all the biggest events recently for Halo, it's console only. So we'll see.
You'd have to imagine, though, Infinite's going to be released on at least Game Pass for PC, if not just like as a standalone thing.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be launched crossplay off the bat and on both platforms, so it's gonna blow. It's gonna blow up.
So would they eliminate PC players from competition if there's a push to play it on console? Because it takes a lot of damn skill on a controller to make up for the keyboard mouse advantage.
So normally I would think so, but just the way that Halo was designed on a controller for a controller and the movement, it's more about movement than just like super precise aim like CSGO or Valorant or, you know, Call of Duty, where you just have to tap someone in the head for a split second and it's over. It's not like that for Halo, right? Halo is more of like, again, it's like an open sandbox arena thing. So you're meant to do funky tricks or weird jumps or pull off crazy things that aren't normal for a virtual soldier to be able to do, you know? So I think that Halo itself is going to be okay in terms of having crossplay, because I feel like it's going to open up the skill depth for different types of play, and we'll be able to see, like, in high tier events, like, totally different styles of game. But I believe that they'll be able to compete against each other just for the, like, the pure fact that it's already being done on Apex Legends right now, where a lot of controller players are literally steamrolling the PC players. Mm-hmm. And some say it's because of the aim assist, but it's already been proven. It's like, the aim assist is really not that much. It's not that strong. It's all about the talent. It's all about the talent in that game, man. It's too fast. It's way too fast.
Fortnite had strong controller assist.
Yes, Fortnite's aim assist was horrendous.
I distinctly remember playing Fortnite on PS4, trying to loot something, and then somebody ran in front of my reticle and it pulled my reticle off the.
Just pulled thing it away. Yep, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think it even, like, sometimes bugged out and would track your teammates. It was super annoying. We're gonna little diversion into Halo, which I'm always down with, because we don't talk nearly enough Halo on the show.
Love Halo. I know.
We're talking Vancouver elated, though, officially, with Mitchell Roman, aka Murrah, here on the game show on Sportsnet 650. This is probably gonna be as tough as these questions get. Usually the life cycle of an esports org seems to go, you know, found the company, find startup funding, sign players, use those players to get your brand out there, turn that into sponsorship. Where in that process of money making are you guys?
So at the moment, we actually recently won our first big event with our Call of Duty team. They just joined the org literally a month ago, and within the first week they played in the U.S. Army tournament, which was a 10K prize pool, and they won that. They came first and third for both the rosters, and so that was our first official profit per se. I think at this point we have established some really, really strong players, both in Call of Duty and Valorant and Apex. We're about to reveal soon. They are pretty scary. And I think once these events start rolling, I think that's where the money making will somewhat start slowly coming in. But the thing is, we also don't take much from our players. But then we recently started planning the whole the tournaments for our own brand of tournaments, which I recently revealed, which is called the Elated Virtual Series. And we are actually in the talks with 343/ Microsoft in partnering up for that. So we're hoping that is where, you know, our profits are actually going to come in. And as soon as we start building more name, obviously with merchandise that we plan to sell.
This is not the first time. I think it was the Vancouver Esports Association guys. I think it was Kevin that said this, that was also like a let's find something to do during COVID type project. I wonder just in general, how, like, in 3 years or whatever, 4 years, if we'll start seeing like a lot of different things that were conceived during this 8 to whatever, however long month period, start to bubble up. Like, there's, you know, like there's X number of like random inventions in the world that are a product of the U.S. trying to get to the moon, right? Like Tang and dehydrated ice cream, stuff like that. There's certain just like flashpoints in history that create a lot of weird inventions. I wonder if this is one. I hadn't thought about that until now. I'm sensing a pattern, at least in esports, of people taking this time to build something a community oriented during COVID. It's a weird like thing that keeps popping up on the show.
I hate to say it, but like COVID was, in a nutshell, like a humongous boost to esports around the world. Like, It's flourishing so much faster than people thought it would, and that's quite literally because people got locked up and had not much thing better to do than to play games and freaking get into that. And then what did people like, you know, Epic Games do? They were smart and they pumped out concerts on a freaking live game platform. And like, that was such a smart move that other companies started seeing that every other sort of organization that didn't think they had to do with esports could all of a sudden get into it.
So let's talk about your rosters. You've got, at least on the website, players listed for Valorant and Apex. You mentioned a Halo team and an Overwatch team that's being built up slowly.
Yes.
Why these the, and now and yes. You've also got, like, you know, coming soon things for Modern Warfare and one other game that I'm blanking on. But either way, they're all shooters. Why these particular games? Just because your background is in shooters?
I mean, it is pretty much that. It's the people involved in Vancouver related are all just from shooter backgrounds per se. We do plan on branching out to Rocket League and League of Legends though, and those are not shooters. Do want to and other games that other stuff, but like, we don't only focus on shooters. I know that it looks like that right now, but it's not just that. It's not that. It just happened to be that those are the games that the people represent that, you know, happen to jump on board with Vancouver related thus far.
Are your players all local players, or is it just the branding is local?
The branding is local, and the team that found it is local. And then some of the players from each roster are local, yes, but not all the players. Some of the players are from the U.S.
Interesting.
And we have a content creator that's in the U.K. and some players that are just totally other place.
So with that in mind, then, why the decision to geolocate the brand? Why not just have it be whatever Team Elated or whatever your official corporation name is?
So one of the main reasons that we decided to feel that it was okay to branch out to the more than just Vancouver because of the fact that the gaming stadium is the arena that we call home, right? That is our home arena whenever we're playing games, you know, that's our home place. And the gaming stadium, while it's only in Richmond per se right now, and then they're building the second one, the full stadium, they have plans to expand to other places, right? So while we looked at that, we were just like, why not also, you know, follow along that path? And then again, once COVID hit and everything, just we saw just how dirty the esports scene was under all the nice flashy stuff that people see on, you know, Instagram and Facebook. Like, we realized that a lot of people that we talked to that shared the same vision as us and the same passion, they were not all here in Vancouver, and we couldn't really afford to just bring them everyone here instantly because, you know, we're not rich. And just overall, just you look at it, you look at athletic sports and whatnot, and yeah, professional players, they do relocate their players to wherever they're playing, but are they all from the same city? Or are they all from the same country? Nope.
You're listening to The Game Show presented by The Gaming Stadium. I'm Max Sussman. After the break, more with Mitchell Roman, a.k.a. Mura, here on Sportsnet 650.
You grind, you scrim, you play, you win at The Gaming Stadium, Canada's first esports arena and Canada's leader in online esports tournaments. The only place to play in local tournaments for whatever game you're great at. Online tournaments all week long with all your favorite games like Fortnite, Call of Duty, Valorant, TFT, Rocket League, and more. At Canada's leader in esports, visit thegamingstadium.com for more information. Less likely to tilt you than playing with teammates who refuse to play the objective. You're listening to The Game Show with Max Sussman, brought to you by The Gaming Stadium, Canada's leader in esports.
Welcome back to the game show presented by the Gaming Stadium. I'm your host, Max Sussman. We're going to get right back into my chat now with Mitchell Murrow-Roman here on Sportsnet 650. There's increasingly so in esports, there's like a buy-in to the top pro leagues. Think Overwatch League and in the Call of Duty Pro League, or even League of Legends, where an organization owns the spot in the league, like it's franchised. There is like a gatekeeping mechanism now in place for how high you can go with an organization in certain esports without having millions and millions of dollars in like actual capital in the bank.
Yeah.
Would you be happy to be, you know, to have a contender series team in Overwatch, or is the goal eventually to have enough money where you can buy into the Overwatch League, for example, not necessarily that one specifically?
So the goal was obviously to reach all the way to the top, right? That is the dream. That's everyone's right. dream in the esports world. So yes, the push to go there is there. We do want to make it happen. If we can raise enough, if we can save enough to make it happen, we will make it happen. But our rosters, while we have main rosters per se, we also do have academy rosters. So we are totally okay with having a team in the contenders area, you know, in the mid section for now until we can make it there, you know? There's nothing wrong with that.
For sure. It is mentioning all the shooters as well. How all these shooters and no CSGO team? How come?
CSGO. I mean, CSGO is so established. You know, if there's very very few people that pop out that are new and godly, because most of the people are focusing on newer games. You know, like Valorant. So it's just hard to find players that we can actually have compete at that top tier level with all these already years and years of established teams. You know, it's not as easy. So, but that being said, I was on the phone with someone recently that was talking to me about CSGO and et cetera. And it is there. Like, we have talked about it. We are interested. It's not that we're not, it's just not as easy to get into, obviously, as the games that we represent right now. But it is there. It's there. The interest is there. If the possibility is there, then obviously we'll make it happen.
You've also got some content creators signed as well. I've always wondered this, because that's been another trend with esports organizations lately, is signing more and more content creators.
Having a bunch of content, yeah.
Yeah, just and I would argue it seems like they're investing, I don't know how much it's costing them versus player salaries, but the rosters of content creators are often far bigger than the pro rosters of some of these squads. What's the advantage to having a content creator representing the brand over a purely competitive team?
So again, the fact that our name and what we stand for is the whole, again, inclusivity, positivity, equality, and whatnot. We are not looking at just the pro scene overall. We are looking at creating like a community for gaming in general, not just pro. So like having content creators allows us to be able to reach out to people that's not just focused on competitive sports and sweaty people, and, you know, to be able to connect with other gamers that are, you know, just more involved in charity funding or charity events, or, you know, being able to have some sort of exclusive stream with, you know, a new game that's coming out, and then get our name out that way. So the advantage is the fact that we get our name out there more than just, you know, pro players.
As an organization, how do you do content creators create a revenue stream for you, or is it more of like a marketing expense, do you think?
It's hard to say. Like, so the content creators that we have right now, they're all friends that jumped on because they wanted to do this with us together and whatnot. So we have someone like Patrick. He is one of the content creators listed Patrick Magdua, he is actually going to be leading part of the Project School Spirit stuff, and he's also coaching the Academy of Valorant roster kids. So while he's technically a content creator on the website, he's doing a lot more than just that. And then we have Vivian, who is listed as a content creator. Technically, she's just going to be doing like charity organization stuff like that. So yeah, we're not actually creating profit from that either, because we're literally just trying to generate, you know, money to give out to charities. And then we have our new content creator, Alamin, Cypherx Gaming. He's doing more variety stuff, but recently he got reached out and accepted and did it, but he did an esports tournament casting, but it was for mobile esports for a game called Overdox. So the fact that we had content creator for, you know, that variety games turned out to be something a lot bigger. So I don't know. I feel like it totally just varies on the type of people you bring onto the team. So even if you're a content creator, it totally depends on what they want to do, what they want to reach out for.
We're talking to Mitchell Roman, aka Murrah, here on the game show on Sportsnet 650. The gaming stadium is hosting a Fall Guys tournament on Saturday. Are we going to see a Vancouver-related Fall Guys squad?
I really want them to do it for sure. We're getting a bunch of the funniest guys as possible to get in there for that. So you can expect some fun times for that. Yes,
I'm very deeply considering playing in that tournament. Now you're signing players that aren't, you know, all local, but you seem to have a not like a mandate, but a desire to have some local representative on every squad at least. Right now,
yes.
Looking around the city, what are the like standout games the city has to offer in terms of talent pool?
Well, clearly, League of Legends, Dota, one of the two of the biggest games in the esports scene, and even our city hosted, you know, some of the biggest events for that. So for sure, those two games, and then Overwatch, you know, are the Vancouver Titans there at. Very, very, very formidable team. They've made a lot of good wins over some scary big names in the past few years. So no, I feel like Overwatch, Dota, League of Legends are overall the biggest games that I know we represent in the city. And then we also had a handful of like really, really, really top pros in Fortnite and Rocket League and Super Smash Bros. But I think the core of it is mostly in the MOBA and MOBA scene for Vancouver, and then somewhat the shooter scene.
I wouldn't sleep. Don't sleep on fighting game pros here, man. There's
I know. Smash, man. There's some of the best players in the world.
Smash and Street Fighter as well. There's a handful of like pretty damn elite Street Fighter players here. And as far as I know, most of these players remain unsigned. I don't know how it would compare to signing a full Valorant roster, but I feel like signing individual fighting game players might be like a really cost effective way.
That's a win-win.
To build up a team. It's only one person.
I hear you. Yeah. It's one guy. one salary.
The most you could do is like a Smash Duos team, and that would be as big as the squad would have to get. Speaking of my Fall Guys joke from a second ago, but what do you think the next like big tier one esports going to be? Because right now the true tier one esports are like League of Legends, Dota, CS:GO. That's pretty much it in terms of like the ones that get, you know, dozens of millions of viewers and have tens of millions in prize pool for every world championship. I would even put something like Fortnite and Rocket League in tier two. Just because they don't have the kind of consistent pro scene
that those I feel ones like do. Fortnite was a fake esports scene.
They just threw $1 billion at it.
No,
I agree.
It just sounds like it was just a company that put money into it, and that was it.
Yeah, they put a bunch of money on the line, so it tried turned into big events, but it didn't. There was no like scene to speak of, right?
Like we didn't see any actual major, you know, MLG sponsors or anything pop out like big events for it. or have like a, you know, big scene tournament like a like Dota or CSGO would have. Like, none of that actually ever happened for Fortnite. Except for, I guess, the World Cup. But again, that was just their own money that they just brought a bunch of people in for. I think Valorant is the game that's going to probably going to hit the next tier one level, just because of the fact that they're trying to, they already announced and opened up the registration for the First Strike tournament, which is what I feel is essentially what they're trying to establish that Overwatch has established. They're trying to create the pocket teams for around the world, or at least in North America, to start representing regions professionally. So I think that they're trying to push their game to get up there, like, fast.
Yeah, and I mean, Riot's had some success with other esports titles as well.
Yep.
they know how to scale, as we were talking about. Like, that's the hard part.
Oh, yeah.
It's going from small to big, and they know how to do that. Yep. Even if it takes a decade.
Yeah, but they got the money for it now, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that game is still, it's still pretty dang, it's still big. It's not falling victim to the thing that Apex fell victim to, which was like a huge yeah. start and then a big drop off. And then it's kind of stabilized here.
It's heartbreaking, right? Man. It's heartbreaking.
It's a fun game, but that happened with all the battle royales, right? Like, there's always a new battle royale and everybody moves over to that for a year, and then
that's why I feel that was actually funny. There was a big conversation about why battle royales should not be considered pro games for many numerous reasons, and it's just one of the main reasons is the fact that there's luck involved, and no sort of professional game should ever host luck, you know. In my personal opinion, there was a lot of debate, and I'm sure there's, again, Apex is a pro game, and I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but there's a reason why Fortnite took so long to form any sort of scene, and then, you know, they had to pump their millions and billions into it to actually form it, and it's just because of the fact that it's just too random at times, and I feel like you can't establish proper just mechanics for like an actual team, you know. It's just it's too freaking wild. It's too random. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's why for a long time you didn't see, you know, quote unquote competitive Fortnite. It wasn't 100 people in a lobby, last one standing wins the tournament. It was like, let's play 10 games and we'll go based on kills and overall and like placement. You'll get points for placement. You get points for kills. You'll lose points for death. They had to make this whole system up, whereas in a game like Counter-Strike or whatever, it's like, here, capture the flag or plant the bomb, whatever the mechanism might be, plant it and win, you know, explode it and win. We're just about out of time here. We're talking to Mitchell Roman, aka Murrah, from Vancouver Elated. But as I said off the top, it's your first time on the show, which means you get all of my normal standard, these questions are for everybody questions. including Murrah, the final five, which are five questions I end every first time interview with. They're not hard. I mean, you might have to think about them for a second, but they're definitely designed to spark fun conversation rather than to make you uncomfortable.
All right, cool.
All right, and then this, you know, it's separated from Vancouver Elated. Just I want the personal Murrah take on these things.
Yeah.
What's your favorite esport to watch?
Honestly, Valorant, and that's not just because that's one of the main games we represent, but I truly, truly have had a lot more fun watching Valorant than any game in a long time since Halo.
It's got the it's like the second most watchable shooter for me, for as somebody who doesn't play a ton of it. Like, Counter-Strike is super easy to watch as somebody who plays none of it. Valorant is a close second. It's like almost, I've always thought that was CSGO's biggest advantage. Like a
more exciting version.
Yeah, in like more visually exciting, but the...
That's what I meant to say, visually. Not tactical, but visually.
What separates CSGO, though, is that like the spectator client, or whatever you'd want to call it, in CSGO is so good with the grenade trajectories and the player outlines through walls and stuff like that. It's just, And Valorant kind of came out fully formed in that regard, where I think a lot of other games, like Fortnite, for example, we'll keep coming back to it, had no spectator client on launch, for example. Like you couldn't,
exactly. It took a while
you for couldn't them to spectate. It took a long time for them to create custom games. Stuff like that.
I know.
Yeah. And Valorant's doing a lot of things right. You can debate your own opinions on Riot Games as a company, but the game is doing a lot of things right. question number two in the final five: what's your favorite esport to play?
Oh, definitely Halo, for sure, hands down.
Now, if you've played
Halo 5,
if you're like a console Halo guy, but did you play Apex on controller as well?
Yes, actually, yes. I only just switched to mouse and keyboard as I'm starting to learn Valorant because I wanted to start playing now recently. And I've literally been playing for 2 weeks on mouse and keyboard, but I've just been controller my whole life.
Yeah.
My whole life.
Dude, same. I started trying to get good at Rainbow Six a while ago, and then now Valorant. But I spent my whole life playing with gamepads, fighting games and sports games and stuff like that, and like 4,000 hours of Rocket League on a controller. It's like hard on your hands to move to keyboard and mouse. I find my hands hurt a lot.
Oh man. Yes. My hands were aching for the first like 2-3 days. They were like, oh man, what is happening?
I kind of call it after an hour or two of playing keyboard and mouse. I got to stop because I write for a living. And if my hands hurt tomorrow, then I can't do my job. So, I have to meter. It's a weird something I didn't think about switching from controller to keyboard and mouse. My muscle memory is not there, or like the muscle buildup isn't there, so my hands just get all weak and tired and crappy after 2 hours.
AIMLabs.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I've been using AIMLabs, and it's just been working wonders.
I do use AIMLabs, but again, it's just my hands hurt even after like an hour of that. I don't know. My hands naturally go to the shape you need to hold a controller, but the keyboard and mouse, it's like too much. There's a lot of pinky action going on. That's something I'm not used to.
Your hands are weird, man. At the end of it, you're just like, what are they doing? I've never seen my hand make those shapes before.
Exactly. Number three in the final five here with Mitchell Roman, aka Murrow from Vancouver. Elated. Esports aside, takeaway competitive gaming, what's Mitchell Roman's favorite game of all time?
Oh, favorite game of all time, like honestly, it's still going to have to be Halo. It's going to be that's where I started getting into video gaming really hard was because I got into it with my cousin. I used to play a lot with him when I used to go sleep over, and we just spend hours and hours and hours playing the campaign, not even competitively, just straight up campaign. Like, I love the Halo story off the bat. Like, I followed the Halo books. I read every single one of them. I own them. I just bought the new one that just came out that's supposed to be a tie-in to the freaking show and the movie and then the next game, and I'm really excited to read that. So Halo overall has been just quite literally just the game for me. And then Zelda's got to be... The whole Zelda series is a very, very close second. Like, I will pour way too many hours into those games.
Number four of the final five. What's the most recently released game that you played you really, really loved?
I just started playing, funny enough, I just started playing Genshin Impact, which is like the game that is a lot of people are saying is a copycat of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And I will attest to the fact that it is very, very extremely similar, but it's a different game. It's an RPG game. It's not the same exact mechanics fighting at all. That's for sure. The fighting in that game is friggin' fun. It was addicting as heck.
And number five, what game coming out soon are you excited to play?
Is that really a question? Cyberpunk. Come on. Cyberpunk is the game that everyone's been waiting for.
You'd be surprised how rarely that's actually been the answer.
What? How?
Well, no. I've been asking that question for this is episode 71, I think, and I've asked that question in, you know, probably 55 of those episodes, and I think 6 people have said Cyberpunk. I should keep like a tally of who says what.
That's to these savage.
Well, yeah, I think
a lot of game is going to change gaming.
I think a lot of people had the same thought that you did, though, was like, is that even worth mentioning? Because it's so obviously the answer.
They skip over it
and they're like, well, everybody must say Cyberpunk, so I'm going to say something else. But then nobody ever said Cyberpunk. It's weird.
That's weird, man.
I do think this was two in a row, though, so we're starting to, and it's getting closer to theoretically coming out.
Well, it's coming out next month, right? Supposedly, hopefully, we'll cross my fingers now, but we'll see.
Yeah. I don't with video games these days, I believe that it will be released the day that I see it in the store. Like, exactly. Or I can go buy it on Steam or Epic Game, wherever it's going to be. That's when I'll believe it's come out.
I was the one that would line up for the pre-order lines and all that, and now I don't even see when there's a release date. I'm just going to be like, is the game out? Yes or no? That's it.
I think the last time I did that was GTA 5. Was the last game where I like pre-ordered it and went and got it.
Breath of the Wild for me.
Well, that was what, GTA 5 was 10 years ago or something.
That's
crazy.
A long time.
Yeah. I did pre-order Red Dead Redemption and then realized that if I downloaded it digitally, I could play it.
You could just play it right away.
I could play it at 9 p.m. the night it came out instead of the next morning. So I just
That's why I stopped going to BB Games midnight. I was like, screw this. I'm just going to stay home and play.
I still, like, there's a part of me that still likes physically owning games.
Part of it.
Just because I'm an old guy, I'm in my 30s. I'm just used to. I like having physical. Nobody can take that from me, right? Like I can't.
I will go for the collector's editions.
Yeah,
that I will go for.
You know, if you like forget to renew your Game Pass or your whatever, your PSN Plus, you like lose all your licenses, stuff like that. I don't. I wanted to get a copy, but then all my friends were like, "Well, we're playing it in like a half hour. We're just going to start playing at 9, even though it comes out at midnight because it's all East Coast time." I was like, "Oh, I guess I'll just buy it." Instead of being a day behind everybody in the story to this.
Exactly. I was like, oh, screw that.
Yeah. Why wouldn't... Yeah, I haven't bought a physical game since then. That's just about all the time we have, but this is the part of the show where I step out of the way and let you promote yourself. Let people know where they can find you or Vancouver Elated or both on Twitter, on Instagram, on the internet. Generally, how can the people connect with VE and yourself online?
Easiest way, VancouverElated.com. We have all of our social links at the top of the page, at the bottom of the page, and you'll find our Discord link there, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. But to make it easier for Discord just to get engaged faster, invite.gg/VanElated. That's the fastest way to just get right into the team's Discord and just start engaging with everyone in the team.
You mentioned organizing tournaments and stuff. Where's the best place to keep up to date on that stuff? Website?
Our Discord server. Our Discord server for sure. Yeah. And Twitter.
If you guys haven't figured this out after 70 some odd episodes, Discord's the place to be if you want to know where tournaments are happening. Always, no matter who we're talking to.
Facts.
All right, that's it with Mitchell Roman, aka Murrah. Murrah, thanks for joining me here on the game show.
Thank you so much for having me. That was awesome.
That's it for this week's episode. Thanks to Mitchell for joining me. Thanks to Connor for recording and everybody at the Gaming Stadium for helping out with production. As always, thanks to the Gaming Stadium for sponsoring the show. You can head to thegamingstadium.com to check out all of the tournaments they've got upcoming online. There is a Fortnite solo queue tournament on Sunday. There's a Fall Guys tournament we just mentioned on Saturday as well. So I'm your host, Max Sussman. You can find me on Twitter at @TrulyItBeMax and on Twitch at twitch.tv/MaxBussman. As always, thank you for listening. And until next time, whatever you do, don't tilt.